I'll come right in.
Rock, flag, and eagle!
Welcome everybody back to another edition of Chairgating, your NASCAR podcast for Belly Up Sports. I'm your host, Rattlesnake, coming to you live from Austin, Texas once again. And we had an incredible weekend, if you're a NASCAR fan. It was great. It was great. I can't remember the last time I said that the best race of the year so far was the All-Star race. Or better yet, the All-Star Open. It was incredible. My guest this week is awesome guy up from Minneapolis. I did a podcast with him recently on YouTube, which I'm sure everybody that listens to this already listened to because it was incredible. It was, you know, with my buddy Eric Estep. His name is Rusty Walrus. So I'll be having him on here pretty soon, and we're going to talk more about the race. We're going to talk about the 600, the Hall of Fame, and we're also going to talk about awful, terrible TV show season finales. Just because of Game of Thrones, right? In honor of how bad Game of Thrones is. And I know some of this news might be a little dated because I record these on Thursday, whereas, you know, a lot of this news happened Saturday night, Sunday night. But I'm talking about it now. If you follow me on Twitter, you already know pretty much all of my opinions on everything. But now you can hear my wonderful, beautiful, soothing voice just pretty much read to you my entire Twitter account. So here I am. Before I have Rusty on, though, I want to talk a little bit about the main event of the night. It was the fight of Clint Bowyer and Ryan Newman, and it wasn't so much a fight, right? Obviously, if everybody watched it, which I'm sure you did, Clint Bowyer upset after the All-Star race ran up to Ryan Newman's car, with Ryan Newman still in the car, just throwing haymakers through the window. Like, lots of them. Both hands. As many as he could get off before somebody pulled him back. Or, better yet, Ryan Newman got out of his car. And it's been pretty controversial. You know, a lot of people are saying, like, oh, Clint Bowyer's not a man because he didn't let Ryan Newman get out of the car first. He kept his helmet on, yada, yada, yada. I almost disagree with a lot of these. But the fact of the matter is, Clint Bowyer was clearly angry, clearly not thinking straight. He was frustrated enough, not thinking straight enough, to run up to another man's car while he's still in it and just start throwing punches. So I don't think he was like, let me stop and think about how the NASCAR fan base, how the audience is going to perceive me after this fight. No, he was an angry guy that wanted to punch another guy because he felt wronged. So I guess my take on this is, I'll give a few, last episode I did road trip pro tips, and I think that was a good segment. Also, one thing I forgot to mention last week, and that my wife reminded me this week, was another road trip pro tip that I forgot was for a bathroom stop, along with hotels, as I already mentioned. If you didn't hear my whole spiel, go back and listen to last week's episode, because I go into a whole spiel about how you're supposed to go into a hotel when you're on a road trip and use the restroom. It's very, very crucial information. And if you don't already know, then you need to know. And trust me, you don't know. So go back and listen to that episode. But one I forgot was colleges. Shout out to the University of Arkansas at Fort Smith. I think that's what it was. They're not as often as hotels when you're on a road trip, but if you see a college in a town, doesn't matter how small it is, right off the highway, stop there, because their restrooms will be incredible. And find the art school, the art building, something like that. Nobody goes into that. Nobody goes into the art building, you know? And their restrooms are always immaculate because they have people coming to visit their school to look at the art. So they keep up their bathrooms incredible. The only downside to the college is parking, no matter how small the college is. For some reason, colleges just enjoy making parking almost impossible for anyone there. I don't know why. It's just, like, funny to them, I guess. So that's the only downside. But if you're just running in to use the restroom, there's a good chance that you could take the risk and park somewhere closer to the art building, even though you don't have a permit, because they don't even make permits for spots in colleges, I'm pretty sure. They just say that it's a permit parking only. Anyway, park there, run in, and you won't want to leave. You'll want to take a nap in the restrooms there, because they're incredible. So anyway, moving on from that, so here's some tips. I won't say pro tips, because I'm definitely not a pro on this, but some tips for fighting. And I have been in a lot of fights in my life. I've been told I kind of have a temper. I speak my mind a lot, clearly, which is why I'm so incredible at podcasting, as you can all clearly already tell. So anyway, I've been in plenty of fights. I haven't won all of them. I've won a good amount of them. Some just kind of end, you know, no real clear winner. I've lost some. So I've been punched in the face enough to know a thing or two. And I think this is what a lot of people nowadays, I say nowadays, like I'm some grandpa, but a lot of people don't fully understand about like fighting, right? Is they're like, why did he do this? Why didn't he do this? Why you can't, you know, critique a guy that's pissed that wants to punch another guy in the face. It doesn't make sense to do that, because he's not thinking clearly either. He's just angry and wants to punch somebody in the face. So that's one thing. I think everybody should get punched in the face. That's a hot take right there, I know. But I think every guy, at least, you know, above a certain age, if you're in high school and older, you need to have been punched in the face. Every guy needs to get punched in the face. I don't know how to put that any other way. Just, you need to get punched in the face. And if you are a person that has been able to live your life without ever having a conflict or have somebody potentially want to punch you in the face, then good for you. I guess you are essentially next to Jesus Christ in perfection, because I'm pretty sure every single person on this earth at some point in their life has come across a confrontation where there was this line where they could cross and say, if I cross this line, I might get punched in the face. Or they back up from the line and say, you know what, I'll be the bigger man. You know what, stop being the bigger man. You're not the bigger man. Nobody's the bigger man. Just stop pretending. Stop pretending like you weren't just too scared. And I understand it's a scary thing to get punched in the face. And definitely your first time. Definitely your first time getting punched in the face. It's scary. You don't know what's going to happen. And you know what? It always stays a little scary. You never want to fully get punched in the face. I'm sure like boxers and stuff like that, they don't mind. Even at my age now, I try to avoid fights now because I'm a little bit older. But I'm also not going to run from one if it comes to me. And even still, I don't want to get punched in the face. But it's like that awesome line. I think it was in Fight Club. I can't remember it verbatim. But he says something like, the first time you get punched in the face, you realize you're not made out of glass. And that's the best way to explain getting punched in the face the first time. You get punched and you go, huh, wow, okay, I can take that. You know, and it's this weird feeling where you're like, I should probably punch the guy back. And that's kind of my first tip. If you've never been in a fight and you get into a fight and somebody punches you in the face, you're going to be a little shocked. Not like it hurt necessarily. It'll hurt later. But you're just going to be more like shocked. Like, did I just actually get punched in the face? I promise that's going to happen. It happens to every single person. What you need to do is fight your urge to be shocked and to kind of stand there like, oh, what? Because the guy's about to punch you again every single time. The second you get punched, you're going to have to start to react and you're going to have to fight back. The tips I would give to fighting back, if you have no experience in fighting, as most I'm sure don't, if you're in a street fight or something like that, honestly, just do whatever you got to do. Try to punch the guy in the face. Nobody's going to care. Even if you lose the fight, everybody walks away saying, he was fighting back. You know, he got punched a lot in the face, but he was throwing him back at him, and everybody will respect you. So, I would recommend, you know, don't play defense either. A lot of people do that in their first fight. All they do is play defense. They'll put their guard up. They'll cover their head. They'll try to avoid getting punched in the face. Don't avoid getting punched. Get punched in the face. Everybody go get punched in the face. Don't worry so much about defense. Know that he's probably right-handed and he's probably going to be trying to throw haymakers with his right hand, and anticipate that with your left. Kind of like hockey players, you know, when they grab the jersey from the opposite shoulder so they can't throw the punch, you know. You don't have to actually grab the guy's shirt, but I'm just saying anticipate. He's going to be throwing haymakers with that hand. Now, if you're facing an experienced fighter, that sucks. Just get your ass kicked and, you know, take your licks. So that's pretty much just my tips. You know, I don't know what else to say. Just if you're an adult man now, I understand not wanting to get into a fight because, you know, you're an adult. You don't need to get into a fight anymore. And also, not to mention, when you're like in your very late 20s, you know, 30s, stuff like that, it can start to become dangerous because men do develop and get much stronger, stuff like that. I know a lot of high school kids are really jacked and stuff, but I've been punched by enough high school kids in the face to know, and this is when I was in high school. I don't like walk around as an adult now picking fights with high school kids, but I've been punched enough in high school to know that they're not going to kill you with their punches. Don't worry about it. But if you're an adult and you don't want to get into a fight, you're saying, look, I'm 30 years old. I don't need to get into a fight. I got a family now. That's stupid. I understand that. What I would recommend then is go to like a boxing gym. Go get punched in the face. That's the best thing I can tell you. Just go get punched in the face. I don't know what else to say. Go get punched in the face. And stop trying to be the bigger man. I'm not saying go pick fights. But somebody's going to confront you. Somebody's going to piss you off. Somebody's going to push you around. Somebody's going to want to fight you. Just don't back down next time. Just don't back down. How about that? Yeah, there you go. That's my not pro fighting tips. Pretty great. Pretty great, I know. And I can't wait for all the DMs and stuff of black eyes of my listeners saying, like, I listened to you. I went and got punched in the face, and then I got my ass kicked. And you know what my response is going to be? Awesome. Now don't get your ass kicked next time. Now you got some experience. So anyway, all you NASCAR fans that have never been punched in the face, that want to critique the Clint Boyer, Ryan Newman thing, that's totally fine. I just recommend you also go get punched in the face and just, you know, just experience it. Live your life a little bit. Experience getting punched in the face. So now that I've encouraged all of my listeners to go get punched in the face, let's have our guest on, Rusty Walrus. But first, I got to give a shout out to TixBlitz. That's TixBlitz.com. And if you listen to my podcast enough, I have been talking about them for a while. And that's not only because they sponsor this show, but also because it's actually a good product. It's a good product. There was a list of products that I could choose from that Belly Up Sports kind of has partnerships with or sponsors with, whatever. I chose to always talk about this one because I've used their product and I like it. It's a ticket website that you go to, and there's no service fees. So what you see on the website for the cost is what you're going to end up paying, and they have NASCAR races, unlike some other ones. And also, if you type in the code BELLYUP, that's BELLYUP, all caps, no space, you're going to get a discount on that as well. That is, what is that, 5%? Yeah, it's 5%. 5%. 5% discount on top of no service fees. So it's definitely the best deal you're going to get. And if you use them, hit me up, and maybe I'll even send you a shirt or something. Because Belly Up Sports has a new shirt provider. Really, really awesome. They're helping out with some designs. So it's not just me anymore, even though my designs are still the best. But, yeah, use the products, and let's get Rusty on here. All right, I'm excited to welcome my next guest, a person who I did a podcast with last week, maybe the happiest person I've ever met virtually, and the person with probably the coolest NASCAR-related online name, Rusty Walrus. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. Yeah, I got to know you a little bit on the NASCAR Weekly Podcast. I'm looking forward to kind of continue that conversation tonight on the Chairgating Podcast.
Yeah, yeah, in between, you know, four other people talking. So, yeah, that was a really fun time, though. Hopefully, I'll go back on that eventually. I know you're on that quite a bit. And you hit the 1,000 mark for your YouTube subscribers, right?
Yeah, you guys gave me a huge push leaving the show last week. Everybody was like, go sub to Rusty, yeah. sub to Rusty, get him to 1,000. I got like 100 subs overnight. It was just the wildest thing. It blew me away, so that was fun.
It was funny, yeah. It was just like during, because I don't think, I think that was at the very end, so I think people watching that didn't see that either, because we were talking about it, and then we were like, all right, show's over, but then we stayed on for like 10 more minutes talking about trying to get you to the 1,000 mark, and it was really fun. That's why I tweeted that and stuff, and
it means a lot.
Yeah, that was a good time. I'm glad that you hit it.
Yeah.
And I previously didn't follow you. I followed you on Insta for a while, I will say, to not sound creepy, but I've been following you on Insta for a little bit, but I'm glad I follow you on YouTube now, because I've been watching your videos, actually. Like the one you just, you said about your story with growing up watching Tony Stewart in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Just like I was saying, Bobby Labonte's, well, just paint schemes in general with NASCAR are kind of what got me interested and excited in NASCAR. Like when you play the NASCAR video games, like for me, it was NASCAR 98.
Oh, nice.
And just, I would pick guys with the coolest paint schemes, and like Bobby Labonte is one of them. Jeff Burton was one of them. But that's how I got into paint schemes, by the way. What's that?
Those were great paint schemes, by the way. I know exactly what you're talking about.
They're like top five all time. Yeah. So that's how I got into it. And then just Tony Stewart was the guy I kind of naturally gravitated as I watched more of the sport. And Tony became my guy. So it's crazy to see both those two guys that got me into the sport inducted at the same time in the Hall of Fame.
Okay, so I guess we can just talk a little bit about Hall of Fame. Because when I think maybe Eric was on the show when they announced the nominees. Mm-hmm. And I said then, I was like, I know it's a big deal. And I know people care about it a lot, and that's great. I just, for whatever reason, don't care like at all about Hall of Fame stuff. But I'm not trying to, you know, dog on anybody that does care. So I like to try to talk about it on here, because I know NASCAR fans traditionally care a lot about it.
Yes.
So your take, because it seems like the biggest discussion about this was Tony Stewart getting in, because I woke up on Twitter immediately this morning. I saw like back-to-back tweets. One was, what did he get, 80% vote?
Yeah, like 80-something, yeah.
Yeah, so, I think it was, it was a little more than, maybe it was 86?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
88? I think, okay, so anyway, somebody tweeted, all I want to know is who are the, like, 12% of people or whatever that didn't vote for him, and why do they have a vote? And then immediately after, somebody's saying, why does this guy get in on his first year of eligibility? There's all these great drivers that should be in that haven't yet. So it was like super polarizing.
It kind of reminds me of Major League Baseball. Like people don't – like it shocked me. I mean, there's a couple guys that have come up for like election that don't get the unanimous vote, like Ken Griffey Jr. And some of the writers are like, well, he's going to get in anyways, so let's vote for somebody that's on their last opportunity to get in. So maybe that's what the writers are doing this year with Tony Stewart. And I was laughing, like, what you're saying. Like, who's the 12% that doesn't vote Tony in? Like, he's what a Hall of Famer is and kind of should be.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And like I said, my whole take on it is, like, it just comes back to this, like, I don't care. And so, if people ask me, what's your take on the Tony Stewart thing? I'm like, he should be in the Hall of Fame. That's what it comes down to. That's my opinion. Now, if somebody else has a better argument that's like, well, you know, he could have waited till next year and it would have got this person in who wasn't going to be eligible again, blah, 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 then maybe I would be like, okay, I could see your point. But from an outside perspective, somebody that doesn't keep up with Hall of Famers at all, he should be in the Hall of Fame. I don't know what else to say.
Well, I kind of know what you're getting at. The problem, I think, with the NASCAR Hall of Fame is they're letting so many guys in at once each year. Mm. And I just, my big concern and question for them, because it's inevitably going to happen, like, where do you kind of draw the line? Like, if you keep letting five guys in, like, year after year after year, it ruins the meaning of the Hall of Fame. So right now, Tony's only 3 years out of the sport, and he's already in, but I feel like there needs to be a different, like, they need to kind of set up some qualification term or some voting percentage. I don't know what it is, but it just doesn't have the prestige it kind of needs. Because they have gotten in all the legends, but when they're out of legends, I kind of laugh like it's going to turn into the WWE where they're putting characters and celebrities in, and I think that kind of hurts the credibility of
that
all.
That would be hilarious, though. They're like... The best Grand Marshal.
Well, yeah, I make the joke, like, they're going to put the Martinsville hot dog in. They're going to put the orange Hell cone yeah. in. Like, I just... the gopher that was running on the backs, or Digger. Like, I just... That's the stuff I worry about, because NASCAR fans care about the history of the sport, and I don't want it to kind of lose that prestige.
You know what? They're trying to get the millennial crowd so hard that maybe they should consider doing that and just making the Hall of Fame just one big meme, where you can just meme the whole thing. But it's actually pretty genius.
Maybe they will have the celebrity wing or the meme wing or something down the road. That's an interesting idea.
Yeah, I know it's great for the guys that are in it, and it's cool to be able to say, like, you're a Hall of Famer in anything. So, you know, respect for everybody that gets in. I just do not seem to care as much as other people. It's, like, big news for other people. So, I don't know. I know NASCAR fans like to make anything news and then complain about anything. So maybe there's a little bit of that also. Yeah, I don't know.
At the end of the day, it gets people talking, gets people, like, digging into the history of the sport, so I think that's a good thing. There's positive and negatives with it.
Right, right. And so I know that you were in Kansas the same time I was, by the way, so that would be cool. Wild. I know, it's a bummer that we met right after Kansas. are you planning on going to any other races soon?
The current plan for right now is to only do the Bristol Night Race with the whole YouTube community.
Right. Like Eric was telling me about that. Yes.
Yeah. So it sounds like there's at least 12 of us heading out there. More. That's just, I think, staying in a house together. So it's gonna
holy
be
this, hell, man.
So it's going to be like a YouTuber house.
I thought it was going to be like four or five of y'all tops.
Oh, no. We've already got the seats are already next to each other. Like, they're all in the same row. And plus, there's other people that are going to the event that live kind of in the area, in the Tennessee area. So I think there's going to be like 25 to 35 people, like, that just are from the community at that race.
Now I feel like I'm missing out.
Oh, you got to go.
Well, now I feel like now I did. Before, I was like, that's cool. Like, y'all have fun in, you know, your group. But now that you're saying there's like 25, now I'm like, well, come on, man. I got a podcast.
You got to go, man. It's
damn.
It's incredible. I met a couple of people at Kansas, and just to kind of put a face to the name and just to talk to people and just talk NASCAR with other people, it's so much fun, man.
It is fun. And it's definitely fun when you're in person with somebody because, you know, as you know, we have to do this mostly, other than Eric, who lives like down the street from me. Most of the time we have to do this over Skype, like we're doing right now.
Yep.
So it's fun to finally like get face to face with people and talk NASCAR that are just as interested in it as you, to a delusional point where maybe you're too interested.
Yeah, it's going to be, man, because if Eric is driving up from Austin, I'm heading out from Minnesota. So it's like a 16-hour drive. If we can make it, you got
to
make it, man.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Maybe I need to talk to Eric more about this. If he's driving, if he's making the drive, he might want to split gas money. I'm going to have to look into this.
It might be once in a lifetime.
If I didn't know it was such a big thing. Now I'm a little upset Eric didn't invite me. Did he just assume this was like an open invitation, or... is he I hate chairgating. I only do it to get more subscribers.
It kind of started. It's been kind of, I don't even know how to explain it. It's just kind of been naturally, I kind of behind the scenes, I think it kind of originated from the podcast guys and the core racing league for NASCAR E3.
Right.
It kind of evolved out of those groups and we're like, hey, we should like go to a race. And it kind of evolved into, let's all go to the Bristol Night Race. And that's kind of where it's been. So it hasn't, they haven't really announced it. They just kind of, I just casually on Twitter say, hey, I'm headed to the Bristol Night Race, but there hasn't been like a big, like, I don't know how to explain it. I think they might be working on something, but it's literally, if anybody wants to go, like, we're all going to like meet up. I don't know if it's going to be on Saturday or Friday, but we're all going to, as a group, hang out and talk to all the, just everybody that's there.
Like, I assume, well, the Bristol Night Race, wait, is that a Saturday race?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Ooh,
so we're
shit.
Doing the trucks Thursday.
So you're going to have to take off work Friday at least. Damn.
Oh, yeah. We're leaving like Wednesday night.
That's what I was just thinking. You might, it would have to be like Thursday and Friday. Well, because how far is it from, you're in Minneapolis, right?
Yeah, it's like 16 hours.
Mm. Yeah, so I can only imagine how far it is from Austin.
It's got to be 16, 18, I don't know.
Yeah, at least. I was actually just up in Minneapolis a few weeks ago.
Okay, doing what?
Lovely city. It was a nice, like, brisk, like, 60 or, like, 58 degrees in the spring.
Yeah.
So, you know, Minnesota springtime, I guess. My little brother lives there. I was visiting him. We went to a Twins game.
Oh, nice.
Oh, man. By the way, I just want to mention this. I lived in Sioux Falls, South Dakota for a good portion of my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I know that area pretty well. I know the Midwest. I got friends that live there. But I had no idea that Minneapolis had such a good pizza scene.
Oh, yeah. The last couple years, it's really blown up.
Oh,
it's
my God. Every pizza place we went to was fantastic.
Yeah.
I was blown away. Y'all had that awesome brewery, that, like, two-story brewery, that huge complex over by the University of Minnesota. Yeah. Oh, my God. Their pizza was probably better than their beer, and their beer was good. But I loved it. I can't live in such a cold place. But good for you for being able to do that.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you're always happy. That's why you're like the perfect Minnesota person. Okay, moving on. The 600 or the All Star Race. Let's talk the All Star Race because I haven't discussed that yet. What's your take on the race?
Well, I think. Across the board, it's kind of hard for me to imagine somebody that wasn't entertained by that race.
Yes.
Especially a couple years ago, everybody said worst race of all time, pull it off the schedule, bring it to a different racetrack.
Right.
So it's kind of crazy to think how far we've come in a couple years to say that not only was that like probably one of the best All-Star races of all time, but for me it could have been the race of the year, and it's got to be in the conversation of one of the best if you put the Open and the All-Star event together, it's got to be in the conversation of, like, top five night race of all time. It has to be, just on an entertainment standpoint, in my opinion.
Yeah, and that's another thing. It kind of goes into a bigger picture. It is, a lot of people have, you know, some influencers have just kind of given up on NASCAR this year.
Yep.
You know, I won't name names, but there's some people that were like, you know what, I'm fed up with this. I hate the aero package. And I think that was more of, like, a tipping point. They were going to give up soon anyway after last year and stuff like that. But it's funny that they're giving up this year because overall, when you look at these races, I'm like, this year's like one of the best years we've had in a long time because this race was incredible. But we've had other great races too.
Yeah, that's what's so funny. Like we're going into Kansas not really knowing what to expect
with the
package. And after Kansas, they're like, this was like the stars aligning. This is the one race, the only time it could happen all year, and the package finally worked. And then they go to the All-Star race the following week, and it works again.
Yeah.
And it's insane that like to think it's this experiment is actually kind of doing a 180 of expectations almost, like it's working. Because the first couple mile and a half races of the year, it didn't really work or didn't really show what it's showing now. So it's cool to see how far it's come in like 3-4 months.
Yeah, and I was defending the races earlier. I was saying, like, I was being optimistic because I was like, well, it's better than I expected. You know, it's better than what people were saying it was going to be. It was going to, you know, be so detrimental. I was like, it's not that bad. It's, you know, no worse than we've seen last year. But then from there, it's just progressed. Like, we've had Talladega in Kansas, now this race. And it's like, they're just incredible races. Not to mention the Open alone. When have you watched an Open and been like, this might be the best racing I've seen like
ever.
In a while? Yeah, this is like really quality racing. They were, you know, just running into each other, but everybody was cool with it. They were like, yeah, that's what they should be doing.
It's just Rubens racing. It's like
I know. It was like that quote in a race. It was incredible.
It was so weird because like Hemric was kind of checked out and you're just kind of like just kind of along for the ride. And as soon as they threw that yellow late and Bubba's up front on that restart and then that happened.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, it was that caution restart overtime in stage one because I was excited. You know, I was watching the race, but Hemric was kind of keeping that. What was the lead on that?
I can't even remember. I think it was over a second.
I think it was 1.8 seconds or something like that.
Yeah.
So like a solid lead. And he was maintaining it off Kyle Larson. And so I was excited. I was like, you know, I'm an RCR guy and he's a rookie and, you know, stuff like that. So I'm like, sweet. He's going to be in the All-Star race. He probably won't do anything, but good for him to get a stage win. And then they throw out that caution and I'm like, oh shit, I don't know about this. and I was just concerned about Kyle Larson.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I was just like, oh, I think Kyle Larson might beat him off that restart in an overtime. I had no idea what was to come. Like, my wife was sleeping, and she woke up just after it, and I was like, baby, you just missed the best racing I might have ever seen. Like, it was incredible.
I'm getting chills right now and goosebumps thinking about how just wild and unpredictable that was. Like, because you don't expect Bubba to be kind of upfront battling for any type of checker flag nowadays. But he went for it, man, and he just missed it by an inch of William Byron kind of getting the last minute run on the bottom there.
Yep. Yeah, which I think after that, too, everybody was like, well, exciting, good for Byron to get it. You know, it was a really exciting finish, but, like, I hope Bubba gets another one of these stages. And I wasn't sure because, you know, he didn't pit, and I was like, I think it's done. I think he was going for that stage one, and I don't think he's going to make a comeback. Like, that was the one he was going for. I had no idea.
The very next stage. The very next stage. Yeah. That's what blows me away. Like, guys, like, they get, like, that one opportunity to win a race, and you don't know if it's going to be the next week or years down the road where they have a chance to win. And it's the very next stage, and he has the same exact scenario playing out.
Yeah, because usually, you know, like, he was setting up to win stage one. That was his plan. Because I can't remember what position he was in, but everybody went to pit during that caution restart because I guess they were like, well, we'll just set up for stage two because it looks like Hemric and Larson are going to be battling this one out. And Bubba doesn't. I mean, he had to have been in like 10th or something. I just remember seeing everybody else pit and then Bubba coming up and I went, uh-oh, Bubba's in third. Where? What had just happened? Yeah. So I thought for sure he wasn't going to be able to make it, but the way he held off, you know, people will say it's dirty. That's fine. I'm not going to argue it wasn't dirty. But I think it was just fine. I think. What did Daniel Suarez say too? Didn't he?
He said he's gonna race people how they race him. If anything, a little bit harder. So I think he alluded to next time they're around each other, he's not gonna be cutting them any slack.
But that's the thing. I don't think anybody should be. Like, I think all the fans loved it that these drivers were going at it, and the second they saw that finish line, they didn't care who was in their way or what it was gonna take. They were going to run you into the grass if they had to get that checkered flag.
And it wasn't really like a really aggressive side body slam. It was just kind of, he was just kind of closing the door a little bit on the grass.
Yeah, he went down for a low block and gave him absolutely no room to run. So, it wasn't like he just took him out. He was just like, you're not going to get past me. Like, if I destroy my car. you're not getting past me this time. And I think it was also partly because of stage one, what happened to him.
Yes, I agree. And you can't let that repeat back-to-back stages. That was incredible. I loved every second of it.
I know Eric on Twitter, he was saying, like, you know, the Bubba move was dirty, whereas Byron wasn't because Bubba gave him no room. And I was like, I mean, they were both a little dirty. Like, Byron came... I don't know if Byron got loose or not. Like, I don't know the full story there. But he came up onto him when Bubba was in the lead, you know, after turn four, right at the finish line. So I was like, I think they're both a little dirty, and I don't mind either one of them.
Yeah, just kind of some fans like a little bit of contact. Some fans don't. You just want to, I guess, give your competitor maybe a more fair shot to race to the line. But for me, it's an all-star race. It's an exhibition event. It meant something. They were racing for something. It wasn't just a stage during the regular season. It was for a win to advance to the All-Star race. So,
and especially Bubba, with everything that's been going on with him and his team.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like he was really racing for something. He was like, I got to prove to everybody that we can get it done. And then, didn't he finish fifth in the race?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was top five in that last stage.
I think he was fifth. Yeah, I think he finished fifth. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I mean, good for him. I hope... Everybody wants to see him do well. I have not seen one person have a negative thing to say about Bubba. Nobody wants to see him fail. Nobody wants to see, you know, Richard Petty Motorsports close shop.
Yep.
So I think everybody, the whole NASCAR community right now is on board. It was kind of like when Chase got his first win.
Oh, it's awesome.
You know, the whole NASCAR community was like, now you'll find, some Chase Elliott haters because he's been getting some wins. But I remember that first win he got last year and everybody was like standing ovation.
This is the greatest moment of the season.
Yeah, good for this kid. He needed a win. So that was cool. I mean, the Open was incredible. The race itself was incredible. Chevy looking really stout still.
Oh, Chevy's back, man. It's insane.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm a Chevy guy. So I'm like, yes, finally. And I mentioned this also. It's funny, you know, Chevy has been having to rely, Chevy has very talented drivers, but they're having to rely pretty much this season solely on Kurt Busch and Chase Elliott.
Yes, as far as the racing goes. Qualifying, Dylan's been doing pretty good with qualifying.
Yeah, Jimmy Johnson does good qualifying. Yeah. Alex Bowman will, you know, get up there. But yeah, as far as racing, it's like they're having to completely rely on Kurt Busch and Chase Elliott this year, which it makes sense. They're both incredible drivers. They're on a good team. But if you looked at the All-Star race, Kyle Larson wins. Bubba Wallace, I don't have it up in front of me, so I'm going off memory. Bubba Wallace, he finishes fifth. Austin Dillon, seventh. Mm-hmm. You know, so some of these other Chevy drivers that haven't been doing as well or not getting wins, stuff like that. So it's kind of cool. Even when Kurt and Chase don't have a good night, they got these other Chevy. That just proves to me that Chevy is fully back.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because like you were saying, it used to be just Chase Elliott in the top 10. And like Jimmy Johnson would be running 25th with Bowman and Byron. But now they're all running up there now. And like you said, with Kyle Larson picking up the $1 million and winning after about 2 years of slump and bad luck.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah, and... You know, I think a lot of NASCAR fans, too, want to see Kyle Larson do well again, because it was... Kyle Larson kind of was the Chase Elliott, you know, like a few years ago. That young guy that was coming up looked really promising, fell off, though. So it was good to see. And it was interesting to see all four Hendrick drivers in the race when they only had two automatically in.
That's right, yep.
Yeah, because, you know, Byron got the Stage 1 win, and then Bowman got the fan vote out of nowhere, left field.
Yeah, to back up the his consecutive second-place finishes. That was good to see the support for him.
Yeah, that's true. So, overall, amazing race. I'm just excited to see what's going to happen here on out. I guess let's move into the Coca-Cola 600 thoughts.
I say this every week. I can't wait to see what happens, because just when you think you have it figured out, it could go the completely opposite direction. And I know the dialogue. We might get into this in a second. The dialogue is 600 miles are too long.
Yeah.
What if this is like what we saw at Kansas, or what if there's some cautions and there's four stages, I think, this weekend. So it's like don't try to predict what you're gonna see. Just go into the weekend, enjoy it. It's going to be a good one no matter what happens, because it's race day and it's fun to see these guys put on a show.
See, I feel like as a podcast host for NASCAR, I'm the worst prepared host. I just go off my opinions and what I read online. Are there four stages, though?
I think I heard them say that during practice day. I didn't see what the...
That's actually a pretty cool idea. I don't mind that at all for a 600.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had on the Belly Up Racing Twitter account, we had a poll asking people's opinions on stages. And granted, it's Twitter... And it's a podcast/blog audience, but the answer that won was that they liked the stages.
Yes. Yep.
So I think that's a young person thing, you know.
Yep.
I think that goes back to the old guy mentality, the old guy yelling at the cloud. Just he hates stages no matter what. I can make a really compelling argument for why I like stages and why I think they're good for the race. Yep. But just old school guys will be like, nope, I want to see Kyle Busch win by 120 laps. I don't care.
Yeah, they just want kind of the natural, organic, non-manufactured, non-altered deal. They want to see it go green if possible.
Yeah, and that's my thing. It's like, okay, let's do that, but do we really need 500, 600 miles if we're not going to have stages? If we're going completely open like that, you can watch like a sprint race, you know? You don't need that many laps, because they're going to get their asses whooped. But yeah, I'm excited for the 600 just based off what we've seen so far. NASCAR's on a winning streak. They are on a roll. I hope that they don't fail here, because they've been doing so well. And yeah, to bring back the discussion, the biggest topic I've seen people talking about was just, is 600 too long? And who was it? Denny Hamlin said that he would rather win a 300, some stupid shit like that. So clearly you already know my take on it.
Yeah.
What's your take on, I know you kind of referenced it earlier, but what's your take on 600 versus a 300 or a 400 or a 500?
I think there's a handful of events that should stay the way they are to kind of respect the history. And it is kind of those crown jewels with the 600, Southern 500, the Daytona 500. I think there's a handful of races that should stay. And you listen to the drivers that like past and present talk about the 600. They're like, no, this has so much meaning to be the 600. And it's not well, we might get into this in a second, but I think the rest of the schedule could shorten up a little bit, whether it's a 300-mile, 350. I think we can shorten the rest of the races, but don't touch the main event crown jewels. That's kind of my take.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with everything you just said. Personally, from a very personal stance, I wouldn't mind every race being longer, right? Because I just like watching racing. So if you're going to ask me, like, hey, do you want to make this race shorter? More than likely, I'm going to say, no, can we actually make it a little bit longer? Because 3 hours watching NASCAR isn't enough for me on a Sunday. I want 4 or 5 hours.
I agree.
But, I think there's definitely some races, if they wanted to look at making races shorter like other sports are trying to do, there's definitely some other races that they could look at to turn into 400s. And I probably wouldn't have a problem with it, them just trying that out.
Yep.
But I agree. The Coke 600 in Charlotte, don't touch it. And I love that it's right after the All-Star race. Like, just don't mess with it. And Denny was like, well, I have friends that come to the All-Star race because they know it's shorter versus the 600. They don't want to sit and watch 5 hours of racing. I'm like, well, then your friends don't like racing. Like, that's the bottom line. Like, I don't know who your friends are, but...
That's the first thing I thought was he doesn't have friends that are into racing. Because when you see him kind of with his golf buddies, his basketball buddies, maybe they're just not race fans. I think that's kind of part of it.
Right. Yeah, because I don't know a single race fan that would be like, nah, I don't want to have to watch a 600. But also, I mean, the whole All-Star event, it's got to be just about as long. You know, if you're including the time in between the races and everything else, like, still a long event. A short little event there. It's not like a 400. But, yeah, once again, Denny Hamlin just reminds me of why he annoys me sometimes. This whole season he's been doing pretty good, and I'm like, why did I ever hate Denny Hamlin? I can't remember. And then he opens his mouth, and I'm like, oh, that's right. He says stupid shit.
Well, you got to give him credit for actually speaking his mind a little bit. Even Kyle Busch, even though when Kyle Busch makes it cringe a little bit, you got to give the drivers credit for actually speaking up and kind of being honest in their answers.
Yeah, I don't want to make it sound like I don't want them to speak up, because I do love when they all have something to say. But I'm definitely going to disagree with some of the things they say.
Yeah, same.
The Kyle Busch stuff, when he speaks out, for some reason, even when I disagree with him, I just kind of laugh. Because I'm like, that's great. Like, I love that Kyle Busch says this kind of shit. He's playing himself at this point. Okay, so we're on the same board here. The 600, don't touch it. It's a great race. Everybody leave it alone.
Yep.
And NASCAR's just been killing it.
Oh, yeah, man. They're on fire. Kind of the thing I've been doing personally for people that don't know much about me, I kind of had my little YouTube channel going, and then I could feel the NASCAR fan base kind of turning on the sport, like you were saying earlier, kind of in the beginning of last year.
Yeah.
And you could feel it start to get a little bit, it started to change a little bit. Specifically, the moment I'll forever remember is the point that might change NASCAR forever is Chicagoland. The finish of that race was so insane. And then after that race, we had so many great finishes. We had the drama in the playoffs. And it just keeps carrying this momentum. It carried it into this year with the 500. And then we had Talladega, Kansas. Bristol was fantastic. And then we just had the All-Star race. And it feels like this past year specifically has been so good for the sport. And I think it's only going to go in this great direction.
Yeah, and I've discussed this many times previously. But I think the new management, right, because there's a few new faces. But the people in charge of NASCAR now, I just think, are doing such a better job. They're taking it so much more seriously. They're understanding that they need to just focus on the NASCAR fan base. They need to not care about anybody else. And you focus on the NASCAR fan base, you please them, they'll keep your sport alive. And then when the racing's good enough, others will just naturally come to it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, I think even just based off them not... dishing out penalties this year to Kyle Busch for what he said about the package, and then of course to Clint Bowyer for punching Ryan Newman through the car. There was no penalty for that.
That's fantastic. I love
exactly. I know Dale Jr. talked about it in his podcast, and you know, they were pretty much saying the same thing. Like, if you do want to get that focus on that old school fan base, you can't penalize these guys when they punch each other in the face.
Well, even a couple years ago, I think it was Charlotte when Keselowski, Kenseth, and then Tony reversed the car into him.
Yeah.
They penalized all those guys, and it's like, come on.
Yeah, they used to throw out penalties just like it was free.
Like thousands of dollars in points. It's like, yep. Come on.
They just dish them out. Yeah, but NASCAR is definitely going in the right direction. So I hope this 600 is really good and nobody brings up this argument again that they should shorten the race.
Yep.
Because if it's a snooze fest, then they'll keep talking about it, which is I don't want them to do.
Well, you never know. Like, it could be like the All-Star race. Like, one year, like, let's get rid of it, let's shorten it. And then this year, what if all 600 miles are just the greatest 600 miles you've ever seen? And it's just like, you never know. Like,
yeah, right when you think you just watched the best race of the year, the next one's even better. And you're like, I don't know what to compare these two anymore. It's just getting too good. Yeah, it's a great time to be a NASCAR fan, honestly.
I agree.
So I guess to wrap things up, you watched Game of Thrones, correct?
Yes, I've been watching every episode live from season 3 until this last one aired.
I'll say season 1 here. I've been watching every episode live since season 1. So I've definitely loved Game of Thrones. I've always been on board with Game of Thrones. You know, maybe not as crazy a diehard fan as some people, but I love the show, and I don't even care spoiler leaks or whatever. If you haven't watched the show by now, just shut up. You know, like, you're not going to watch it. Don't go back and watch it. Everybody's already given it away. It was a terrible ending. It was one of the worst season finales I can remember. Mm-hmm. I think everybody can agree on that. There's been a lot of, you know, talk about what they could have done better. Like, you know, clearly they set up a lot of things that just fell flat that made no sense. Like, why Bran was the king? That was stupid. He said he didn't want to be king. Why was Jon Snow a Targaryen? Nothing, that didn't matter at all. Why did Arya have the ability to change her face if she didn't use it? Anyway, that's all been discussed. So I'm not going to get into that unless you have any hot takes on the season finale.
No, well, I didn't have too big of an issue with the season finale itself. To me, the whole final season was a mess because all the storylines didn't pay off. Everything fell flat. Nothing paid off in any form. And it's just kind of unfortunate, but I'll leave it at that. I would say the first, I don't know, four or five seasons were really, really fantastic. And then the last couple kind of fell off a little bit.
Yeah, but I've heard a few people say essentially season 1 through 3 were like three of the best seasons of any TV show like ever, and then it kind of started to slowly fall off a little bit. Still good, and then, you know, 7 was questionable, 8 was a nightmare, and so I tend to agree with that assessment. That's a really good way to look at it.
And I do want to say, in case people are listening, you never know who's listening, but the actors, actresses, everything, the production, the directing, I thought was top tier.
Oh yeah, the best
all the way through.
Yeah, the cinematography. Wow. The acting, everything was incredible. It was just purely writing. It was purely writing. That's all it came down to. Yep. So if we have any of the writers from Game of Thrones listening, you fucking suck. I don't care. I don't care if I hurt your feelings. Come on and defend yourself because you're terrible. They just gave up. So essentially, instead of spending a whole hour bashing Game of Thrones, I wanted to look at some other TV shows that had awful season finales. And so I went online on social media, asked y'all, the audience, the listeners, for a couple recommendations and said that I would just shortly discuss those. So I felt like it would be a good discussion to have you part of, just in case. A few that I got was, I don't know if you know I Want to Believe NASCAR.
Yes. Yeah. James,
Yeah, I've had him on this show. Awesome dude. We worked together on a few things. We need to do more, actually. I forgot that.
Oh, yeah, he's awesome. Yeah.
He commented, Dexter, all caps, Dexter.
Dexter, yeah. I agree. Dexter's the one.
Yeah, I got a few Dexters. So that one, obviously, was terrible, as everybody knows. This whole episode is going to be spoilers, by the way, if anybody doesn't know. But, yeah, it was just stupid. Didn't he go off and become a lumberjack?
He kind of sailed off into the hurricane.
Yeah, faked his own death to become like a lumberjack. It was just incredible. And, you know, Dexter was falling off kind of like Game of Thrones anyway. It had a longer decline than Game of Thrones. I think season 4 of Dexter was good. That was the one with the that other serial killer that plays from the guy from Third Rock from the Sun, right?
Yeah, that was a good one. That was a good one.
But then after that, you were like, why are they still doing this show? So, Dexter got a lot of those. Got a few Sopranos from my buddy Mike Day on Instagram. Sopranos is a good one. Also, I don't know if you've watched Sopranos. I won't give it away in case.
Yeah, don't spoil that one.
It's one of the best TV shows ever made, hands down. And it just leaves you so disappointed. But the reason I like this one is if you go online and look up best season finales, some people try to argue that The Sopranos was one of the best season finales. So it's a very weird, it's only like film critics that argue that. Your everyday viewer, pretty much all of them will say The Sopranos is terrible. Just the season finale. The rest of the show is maybe better than Game of Thrones throughout overall.
That's what I hear.
It's maybe better. I'm not saying definitely. Game of Thrones was incredible, but yes, definitely Sopranos is up there. Somebody else said, I don't know, I guess maybe the Big Brother season where Devin won and Paul got second twice. What is Big Brother? I don't even know. Do you watch Big Brother?
I've only casually seen it a handful of times. I just think it's, I kind of laugh at the show, just kind of the drama, the plot lines, the strategy. I don't watch it.
Okay. I don't even know what it is, though. Isn't it like people helping? I don't know.
I don't even know how to explain it. They all live in a house, and they like eliminate somebody from the house each week, and there's just backstabbing and alliances and games It's addicting. I understand the appeal of it, but it's just ridiculousness.
Okay, so it's like an MTV type show.
Yeah. And I guess the cool thing is it's always live, so you can tune in on the website like when it's not on air, and you can actually see them in the house. Okay. So it's like it's really I understand it. It's just not for me.
See, if we go, if I go with y'all to the Bristol Night Race, that's what I'm gonna do without y'all knowing. In the house is set up hidden cameras that are live, and I'm gonna have like a feed. Somebody else, Racing for Life 18, said any show without a season finale. That's, you know, kind of goes completely against what I asked, but it's a fair point. If the show's canceled, that sucks. Ryan Glanzer, another Dexter. Lori on Twitter, this is a good one. Lost. Did you ever watch Lost?
No, I didn't.
Terrible ending. Terrible ending. I won't spoil that one for you either, but bad. Mr. Ace on Twitter. Said iCarly, and I can't tell if that's a joke or serious, but either way, I love that answer. Jacob, who used to be a writer at Belly Up Sports, great guy. He said The Last Ship. Never seen that, so
okay.
I can't really say. Zach Mack from Belly Up Sports said 2017 MLB season, and he's only saying that because he knows I'm a huge Astros fan, and he's a piece of shit. So I hope he's listening to this. Ball and Mitt podcast. What?
Yeah, the whole time I've been waiting for somebody to say, like, 2018 NASCAR championship.
Yeah, exactly. I'm surprised with all the NASCAR follows I had that never came up. Yeah. I got a Bloodlines, never watched it. The Punisher, I only watched, like, a couple seasons, but I heard that it was disappointing. So.
Okay.
Those were all the responses, all the good responses I got, at least.
Well, sounds like Dexter was the winner, then.
Yeah, I think Dexter was the winner. It's incredible of how bad. Another one that wasn't brought up that I think should be mentioned was How I Met Your Mother.
I saw Jarrett the Iceberg mention that one a lot.
Did he mention it on my thing?
The show though?
He didn't mention it on mine, right?
I think he sent a tweet out asking if compared like Game of Thrones to How I Met Your Mother.
Okay. I was gonna say if I missed him mention, I'll feel bad. How I Met Your Mother. Awful. That one actually might be the worst ending of all time. Not saying that's like an incredible show or anything, but it was incredibly bad the way they ended it. They just set up a whole plot. They finished it, kind of like Game of Thrones, right? Where they, you know, you get the reveals, but instead they're like, nah, fuck that. Kill everybody off. And he'll go back to being with the girl he wasn't supposed to be with, and she gets a divorce, and like, ugh. It was terrible. So anyway, those are our season finale failures. I hope everybody enjoyed those. If anybody else has any other ones that they thought of that maybe I didn't mention or I couldn't think of, just DM me or something. Maybe I'll bring it up in another podcast. Thanks for coming on, Rusty.
No, thank you for having me. I always love talking NASCAR. I love talking to NASCAR fans I've met before. So yeah, I really appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, and I am going to talk to Eric about that Bristol thing now, because now I'm kind of pissed. I'm going to be like, Eric, why did I have to get an invite from Rusty? You come to my house all the time. Also, how did you get the name Rusty? Obviously, I get it's Rusty Walrus, but were you just like, oh, that's kind of funny play on words?
Yeah, I've been asked this a lot, and I feel awful, but not being able to tell the full origin story of it.
Oh, you can't say it.
Well, I just don't remember it. So it kind of goes back, like, to 2007 or 8, I want to say, on, like Facebook. But, like, I guess the thing I can, like, most relate to the audience with is, like, when you pick, like, a gamer tag on Xbox.
Right.
Or just anything online, just an anonymous username. I did a spin on my name. Like, my real name is Russell. So kind of a nickname for me is Rusty. And I don't remember the connection, how I spun the play on, like, Rusty Wallace into Rusty Walrus. But I think part of it is it's obviously the NASCAR tie-in. And I just kept that and stuck with that. And I ended up making a YouTube channel. And I had no idea anybody would watch it. I had no idea anybody would engage with me on Twitter. And it's just kind of stuck. And I keep thinking about changing it kind of to my real name, real identity. But for now, we're running with kind of the gimmick. And
I love it. Don't change it. It's incredible. It's one of the best things. If you ever go away from it, I'm stealing it immediately and pretending like I had no idea that that was ever your name.
Yeah, yeah.
So, no, definitely keep it. And if you ever want to write any articles under the name Rusty Walrus, let me know. I'll publish it on my blog for you.
Okay.
Because it's just such a great name. I mean, people have blogger names and stuff, and I'm very jealous of that one.
It makes me laugh when I catch other YouTubers, like either on podcasts or on their own shows, when they try to say Rusty Wallace, they'll accidentally say my name instead of Rusty Wallace. And it's secretly enjoyable for me because I was never a Rusty Wallace fan. So when like they're slowly erasing Rusty Wallace out of the NASCAR history.
This is all on purpose. That's why you won't tell me the real story. You were like, I hate Rusty Wallace.
Yeah, yeah. It just makes me laugh as a somebody that wasn't a fan of Rusty. I just get a kick out of it.
I'm very interested. I don't know if you sell merch or not, but I want to make a t-shirt design for you.
Okay.
And
your throwback designs are awesome. I see the one Eric wears on some of the podcast.
I used to work at a t-shirt print place in graphic design. I love making t-shirts. It's like my hobby. I want to make one for you that's like an identical ripoff of a Rusty Wallace shirt, but put like your face on it and then have maybe like a walrus somewhere and say like Rusty Walrus. That would be hilarious.
Anything you want to do that kind of has like that throwback vibe, I'm all in.
Yeah, that's my whole. I love the throwback stuff. That's all I ever go for. So that's why I think I started becoming friends with I Want to Believe NASCAR, because we just started talking about throwback NASCAR gear.
Oh, his every day is something new with the history of the sport and just the nostalgia he provides. I love that.
Yeah,
he's doing.
Just got sick hats and shirts and stuff. He rocks cool throwback stuff. Anyway, way off topic now. Thank you once again for coming on.
Yeah.
I'll probably have you back on. I usually have my guests back on eventually. So
yeah, whenever you want to do it, I'll be available. I'd love to be back.
I know you say that now because I'm still recording. Once I pause for all the audience, for all the listeners, he's going to be like, what the fuck? I'm never doing this again. What was this shit? We talked about season finales. I thought I was coming on a NASCAR podcast. All right. Anyway, thank you. Love getting a Midwest guest on here. Yeah, we'll have you back on soon.
Fun, man. Thanks again.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And I will see y'all next week. Peace. It was straight shot. All it took was luck to not get caught. I laid 3 dimes down in the machine on 25 cents. Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, get in there and talk about www.com. You got then naked chicks on there, man. You go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.